24 minutes before 10, also some of your voice notes coming through. Yes, one.
Eusebius, what do you mean by non-existent Lord?
Yeah, it's very simple. There's no evidence that is decisive that God exists. So why must I believe that God exists? Whatever you want to call him, whether you call him, I don't even know whether it's a him. Maybe it's a her. Maybe it's someone who's gender non-conforming. Is it God? Is it Allah? If you believe in a deity, in a higher power, make the argument for why they exist. It's obvious. I'm lampooning people who believe in a deity. Because number one, having a religious conviction does not make you immune from being lampooned. Number two, having a religious conviction doesn't make you immune from rational engagement on the evidence basis for which you hold a particular belief. That goes both for atheist and for theist. I'm an agnostic. And I'm not a fence sitter. Since I was a post-grad student, I've taken my agnosticism very seriously. I was just explaining to Mava that I'm not indifferent. I'm convinced that atheism is rational. I'm also convinced that Jews, Muslims, Christians, all of you who are believers are also irrational. The most rational people, and my friends know this, those regular friends of mine who are also philosophy students will be chuckling because they've heard this for the past 10, 15 years from me as a philosophy student. That the paragon of intellectual virtue is the agnostic, because we only form decisive beliefs when we have decisive evidence. In the absence of evidence, be humble. Agnostics are humble. We apportion our belief to the available evidence. There's no evidence that says God does not exist definitively, which is why Richard Dawkins is irrational. But those of you who are Christian, who are Islamic, who believe in other religions, you are in the same WhatsApp group as the atheists. So here's the irony, Mava, that agnostics actually are the ones who are not fence-sitting, but who have the most rational belief in relation to the question of whether there's a deity. The people who are in the same WhatsApp group, as much as they will not enjoy being told they're in the same WhatsApp group, are actually the atheists and the theists, or in ordinary speak, the believers. Because what believers in a deity have in common with the atheists is that all of you have beliefs that are poorly formed. So yes, I do refer to the non-existing God, because there's no decisive evidence that God exists. And if that is something that touches you on your studio, pick up the phone and make the argument on the basis of evidence for why belief in a God is rational.
702 and Cape Talk.
Open line.
Pule, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Good morning, Sylvius. Two things quickly. One, I just want to take Mayor Mashaba. First of all, I caught it at the tail end, but I am impressed one that the mayor came across to come and apologize. Somebody advised him quite well, but I think at the end, I questioned his sincerity. I think the mayor has forgotten what poverty and what informal looks like. The fact that he went and he called JMPD on that gentleman, it means that he must also get up and actually follow up and try and understand how he's a gentleman, because that's the epitome of informal. Informal has certain attributes and needs to be educated as well in terms of what health might look like. So the sincerity is questioned. From a media perspective, well done for coming forward to us. We applaud him, but I think he must get up, go and apologize to the gentleman, or just follow up in terms of what has been done and not interfere, though. And the second part is just directly towards you. I think I need to compliment you for being able to handle tough issues with more rationale. I think when you joined 702 at one stage, I was one of those listeners who stopped listening. But at the current moment, I think you're a symbol of what we call playing the ball and not the man. You are able to handle tough situations without actually looking while focusing on rational elements. Actually, at the current moment, I can hear the rationale.
I'm playing what, Pule?
Playing the ball and not.
I'm
the
playing
man.
The ball. Are you calling me gay, dude?
Yeah.
I will leave you to work out the layers of that comment there. Thanks for calling in, Pule. Jacques says, you sound like a fundamentalist, Eusebius. I love you too, my friends. And then a whole bunch of just comments divided on Herman Mashaba on my Twitter timeline. Some of you thought that he is sincere, unlike what Pule is saying, and that other politicians can learn from him. And a couple of you are saying, no, Eusebius, the mayor is being disingenuous here. He's the one who started and aggravated the situation. Now he wants to come and apologize here. Just a fascinating politician. I really am incredibly fascinated by how he divides you in terms of your views about him. Paul, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. Yeah, I'm definitely in your WhatsApp group when it comes to agnosticism. But now, as Stephen Hawking said, it's impossible to prove the existence as it is impossible to prove the existence of God. Right. Now, my point is, an agnostic person is somebody who reserves judgment about divinity. I think I'm right there. And an atheist is somebody who denies it. So, yes, I find atheists to be arrogant because you can't just deny something because you can't prove the non-existence. But now, don't you sometimes wake up in the morning and find yourself a little bit more atheist than agnostic and the other way around in the morning?
Yeah, it depends on what I had for breakfast. Listen, this is one of my most favorite philosophical debates, and I don't get emotional over it, and I always feel pity both for people who believe in a deity and for angry atheists when they get emotional about this debate, because I actually find it intellectually a really interesting debate. This is what I'll say, Paul. If you're a serious student of philosophy of religion, on some definitions of atheism, I am an atheist. My good friend Jacques Rousseau and I were involved with a debate with a Christian scholar last year at Wits University. It was very stunning. And I think the one thing Jacques and I agree, particularly for political reasons, it may be more useful to call myself an atheist. So on some definitions, I am an atheist. Just as on some definitions of agnosticism, many people who call themselves atheists will come out as agnostic. I think the key thing that I have in common with atheists is that the one thing we all believe is that there isn't definitive evidence that a God of some sort exists.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Thank you, sir. Have a beautiful day.
Bye.
Cheers. Is it Antoine?
Yes, Antoine. How are you, Eusebius?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Very well. Very topical discussion, and I just had to chuck my 5 cents in.
Yes.
I had a severe accident 5 years ago. I spent 6 months in ICU, 6 months in Auckland Park rehab, and I'm currently on benefit. I don't work. I had quite a good position. But let's get to the point here. I do believe. However, I have a near-death experience. I saw my dad and vision and stuff, but I didn't see anything. I didn't see any angels or any affirmation that the Lord exists. And I just, not to get too topical, Marcus Aurelius, a Greek emperor, said that live life as if there is a Jesus. And when you die and there isn't one, at least people will remember you as a good person. And when you die and there is one, you'll go to heaven.
Yeah, but you can be a decent human being without taking your cue from the Bible or from any religious text.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. The challenge, you see this, is people that judge people that you say you're agnostic.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'm happy to sit them down and explain to them what agnosticism means.
It doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Of course it doesn't mean that. There are many Christians who are horrible people. There are many Muslims who are horrible people, or Islamic citizens of the country and the world who are horrible people. There are many atheists who are horrible people that I do not want to befriend and I wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley. There's absolutely no correlation between beliefs about religion and someone's character. If you want to judge their character, observe a slice of their life over time. You can't make inferences about their character on the basis of whether they are theistic, atheistic, or agnostic.
100% agreed, you see this. And unfortunately, we live in a community or in a world where people sometimes have religion as a fallback plan, but actually in the reality, what they are doing, I believe, I've even been duped by one or two Christians, which is fine.
I hear you. Dr. Shai, is it?
Yes, good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Yes, sir.
Yes, serious, you know, I think, you know, you're missing something, you know, which I think you should be educated about. You see, God is not a human being. God doesn't have, you know, sex like male or female. Now, you cannot say there's no evidence that God exists. You can call it God or higher power. But you have to understand, nothing can make itself. You know, something has been created. As human beings, you know, we have been created, you know, by something. this planet, you know, the universe has been created by something. Whatever created that, some people chose to call it God, some people nature, but there is a higher power than you, CBS. So you cannot say, you know, there is no evidence, you know, that God or nature, you know, I mean, you know, exists. So I don't really get your point, you know, but I'm just asking you, I mean, really, don't impose your ideas or your belief on other people.
Okay. Your last statement is out of order. I'm doing no imposing. What I am doing is I'm putting a view that you don't like and you're confusing it for imposing. What you said before that sentence intrigued me far more, because that we can have a debate about. You haven't presented evidence. What you have done is to...
You want. I mean, who created you? Who created the universe? Something has created that. Do you agree with me?
You know what the interesting thing is about people like yourselves?
No, I'm asking you, do you agree with me that something...
No, you're not asking me, because you're telling me. Apparently, you don't want my opinion. You want to tell me what it is. If you want to know what I think, you would breathe and let me speak, because I didn't interrupt you.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Now, let me explain to you the nature of your reasoning. You say you're a doctor. What kind of a doctor are you?
I'm a chiropractor.
Okay, so you are schooled in basic methodology of scientific reasoning, and I like that, because scientific reasoning is very useful here. Okay, now hold your horses and listen very carefully, unless you are not open to persuasion.
Okay.
You haven't presented evidence. Evidence comes in different kinds of guises. There's observable evidence that we can then try and corroborate. We can try and test it scientifically. We can try and set up all sorts of experiments and see whether, through a process of falsification, a hypothesis about why something exists turns out to be a sound hypothesis after we've set up the necessary experiments. Right. When it comes to the question of a God, whatever that God's properties might be, the metaphysical question of whether God exists cannot be corroborated or tested through scientific method, because how do we set up the experimental conditions to do so? So what you have done is, Dr. Shai, you're not listening. Okay, let me mute you.
Okay.
And then I'll unmute you when it's your turn to respond. What you have done is to reason from inference. You have said, surely there's a mystery here, Mr. McKaiser, that we know ordinarily in the world that we normally occupy that there's an explanation for how something come about. If you want to know how Mava comes about, two human beings had sex and then it came about. So there's always a causal story to be told about how Mava came about. So there must be a story of how the universe came about. Up until that point, Dr. Shai, your reasoning is perfectly rational. But here's where your reasoning breaks down. Just because there is a mystery about the origins of the universe doesn't mean that you can fill out that mystery by saying, I'm going to put God into my story. Because at that point, your inference is going beyond the observable evidence. We know that human beings are responsible for why Abel exists, because we can tell a biological story of how other human beings who look like Abel have come about. But in your case, all you have is at best an hypothesis that surely a deity must be responsible for why the universe exists. That is not evidence. That is an hypothesis, an untested hypothesis. Now, I think what is far more rational than an untested hypothesis is to allow yourself to be humble. I'm appealing to you to be humble and to say, you know what? Sometimes there are mysteries that even the scientific story cannot account for. The scientific story is incomplete. But you can't go, I'm so unhappy with incomplete stories, therefore God exists. That is not good reasoning. Joseph?
Hi, CBS.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just need to comment on the issue of God as well. Only a bit of what the last caller just said.
I hope you can do better than him. Have you got proof for us, for the agnostics and for the atheists?
Yes. I believe that God exists. Proof, just look around you. The nature, I know you debated with the guy on it. Look at the nature. Look at, for example, yesterday we had a bit of rain. Who made it rain? It's God. There's some sort of maybe funding or something up there. It's God who makes it rain. Like, That's my proof that God exists. You just need to look at the nature. Everything starts from somewhere.
Okay, I think I need a break there. I can't. Come on, guys. The one thing that unites people who believe in a deity, whether you're black or white, rich or poor, all of you who believe in the deity, it seems as if the agnostics and the atheists are in a minority here in Cape Talk and 702. Can someone call in? I'll even extend my open line for you. And do better than tell me the Johannesburg thunderstorms are proof that God exists. Come on. 6 minutes to go on the open line. Lufuno, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Sergio. Let's talk on the non-political side of things, the Christian relationship and the existence of God.
Yes. I'm listening. I'm all ears. I'm waiting for the evidence.
Okay. I'm saying to you, the evidence, I've lived it. I had arthritis with me. I went out to church. I've been to all hospitals or hospitals. No cure could be found. I was laid hands on to me. In a minute, all my pain was gone. That's proof to me that God does exist. I've been to hospital for 4 years. I could not get any cure. So I don't need a scientific test to prove that God exists. The fact that things happened to me that I could not explain, and all I was told was, this is God healing you. That's proof enough.
Okay, Peter, do you agree with Lufuno? God healed him?
No.
But he says he's experienced that God did things to him that medics couldn't?
That you can have that are unexplained. And just because you can't explain something, there's no reason to ascribe it to a religion. It just means we don't have the knowledge to understand everything around us yet. Maybe one day we will have. But to invent gods to explain things is not necessary.
Lufuno?
Okay. You said this in Peter. My son is a medical doctor. I myself is a very highly educated person. I'm well schooled. I've done my research. And the only reason I could find was that the man of God laid his hands on me and called upon the name of Jesus, and I got healed.
So There's a very famous scientist called Carl Sagan that said, it's okay not to know. We don't have to express an opinion on everything.
I agree, Peter.
We don't have to have gut feelings on every single thing that we don't understand. It is okay to be able to say, I just don't know.
Yes.
And if there isn't evidence for something, we can say, we don't know where it comes from. It doesn't have to be a God. It doesn't have to be science yet. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Peter, let's give Lufuno a chance. Okay, Peter, Peter's going to hold on, Lufuno, so that we can hear each other. Obviously, I think Peter is spot on here. Lufuno, what do you say to Peter?
I'm saying in the same context that Peter's arguing, that we must agree not to say that there are things that we cannot explain. I'm saying to you, it is okay, still in the same context, to agree that there is God when you can't prove that he's not there.
I also can't prove that there isn't a little green monster under my bed at home right now. Is it okay for me to believe that?
Yeah, it is okay for you to believe that it's not there, but it's not okay for you to say that me that believe that I've seen him am wrong.
Maybe I need the gift of interpretation here. Yeah, let's take another caller. Calvin, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir. 30 seconds.
It's Calvin here. I just ask you to tell you something and ask you something.
Sure.
The first thing is that I know of people that believe in a guru. But the day that this guy died, he asked his wife to sing him the best hymns. Because when he was young, he got a foundation, a Christian foundation. I just want to know from you, the day you die, which church is going to bury you and what hymns are going to sing at your funeral?
I don't know, and quite frankly don't care. Why is that a good question to ask me?
It seems that you've got a grudge against God.
I can't have a grudge against God because there's no proof that God exists.
In a religious foundation.
Calvin, hold on one second. Calvin, just slow down for me, my friend. Hold on one second. You give me too much credit. I cannot have a grudge against God if I don't acknowledge that God exists. How? What's wrong with logic today in the open line?